Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa. Always online at ZoomZoomNation.com.
We'll look at the tape.
It's intentional grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
How about that?
That's fantastic.
Brand new open from Mike Jacobson, our
well
fine producer.
Well done, sir. Well done. Who is the clip that goes... whatever.
Jay?
I think is it Jay?
I think it's Jay.
Yeah, I like it.
I just like the Hard Knocks music.
Yeah.
Get you jacked up for a podcast.
Well, I'm glad it's got our Stay Hard podcast motto in it.
That's what we do here on Intentional Grounding.
We stay hard.
Come out hard, and we stay hard every week for you and after every game as well. This is Adam Hogan, Adam Johns on Intentional Grounding, episode 56. I had to dig for this one a little
bit. Yeah, yeah. Who do you got?
Bill Hewitt. He's a tight end slash fullback who played in the 30s, but he has his number retired by the Bears.
I knew that, actually.
That's why it's so hard to get a guy with 56, because you had a guy who played in the 30s get his number retired. Only 52 career receptions.
Well, football has changed since then.
It definitely has, but he was a two-time NFL champion with the Bears, known as the last guy to wear a helmet, or to not wear a helmet, because he kept refusing. It kind of happened with hockey did, where it was like it was optional for a while, and guys were out there running around without helmets on like crazy people, and then eventually, I guess in Bill Hewitt's last year of his career, the NFL said you have to wear.
Well, good old Bill actually may be onto something. There's some concussion advocates that say you eliminate the helmet, you'd eliminate a lot of the concussion problems.
I've heard that too.
It's a weapon.
And sometimes I think that's true, because guys would certainly protect themselves better if they weren't wearing
the
a helmet.
The tackling would change.
And it's an interesting theory that I think might actually... But it could totally change the game.
Yes.
That's the problem, too.
It would slow down a bit.
It would slow down a lot. But yeah, so this is episode 56 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogue and Adam Johns here with you. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. And follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. I put some polls up on there for games to be played this week, so you can kind of participate in our picks that we do every single week. We actually did this last week, too. I just forgot to mention them.
Because I'm an idiot.
But I put it down here on the rundown in big, bold, italic letters, so I don't forget.
What size font?
12.
12.
Here, let me jack.
So you're still counting.
Here, I'll jack it up a little bit. Let's
get to at least 16.
Yeah, we'll put it up to 16. And, okay, I won't forget now.
There we go.
I promise. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast by searching Intentional Grounding on iTunes. You can subscribe there for free. Rate it. Review it. We appreciate you doing that. Time to get to our news. Somewhat of a lighter week of news, which is probably a good thing considering what this team seems to always be going through. We'll start with this. Jay Cutler actually threw a couple passes in front of us yesterday in the short period of practice that is open to the media. Somewhat of a significant development. I don't know about significant, but a small amount of progress being made with Jay. He did not have the brace on his hand. Mm-hmm. He immediately caught a football with that hand, threw a football with some zip on it. You know, not like a throw he would throw in a game. But he did not practice, still not practicing. But on the side, throwing a couple footballs, it's a good sign.
But he did that a couple weeks ago, and I would say it's been better. It was better as opposed to what we saw a couple weeks ago where it looked like he was a short-armed high school player at times. He looked...
Also, I don't think what he did a couple weeks ago helped the situation. I mean, the fact that we saw him that one day and then didn't see him for like 3 weeks.
Right, right. It told you the ligament damage was not healing as fast as they thought it would be. Look, he was still in sweats. He wasn't going through the team drills. He was like the extra thrower. I can't give you full detail of what's going on in practice because we're limited to begin with, but he was the extra throw guy, we'll call him. And look, it's
the
going
extra
to be
throw guy.
He's the extra throw guy. And
is that on the depth chart?
That's lower than it goes Hoyer,
Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley, the trainer.
Trainer guy.
Yeah, the extra the coach and then the extra throw
the
guy.
Extra throw guy.
So the extra throw guy's, you know, he's yeah, he's got a while to go. This is Brian Hoyer's gonna start this week.
Yeah, most likely. Now what I wonder, because this has become a real story, Cutler or Hoyer, we talked about this after the game on Sunday. I think we both believe that if Jay Cutler was quarterback, the Bears win that football game. You think there's any chance he's ready for Green Bay? Which is a week from today. So we record this on a Thursday. The Bears play the Packers next Thursday.
Even if he's ready, I don't think they go to him. Because I think Brian Hoyer has another outstanding game against the Jaguars.
Because after that, there's, what, 12 days? 12, 13 days off before they play the
Vikings.
The Vikings on Monday Night
Football. And then you got the bye week, right?
Then you have the bye after that.
Yes. Yeah, so.
So you have some time. But I'm just... There's two working theories here, and one that I think at this point has a decent amount of credibility is that John Fox really does like Brian Hoyer.
Yes. But he liked Jay Cutler, too, last year.
I know, and I don't know what happened. I didn't think Jay was horrible the first couple weeks. He was playing through a thumb injury.
Let's just ignore the context that he's playing, behind an offensive line that just got thrown together a few days before the Houston Texans.
Right. Had no running game.
No, exactly. The Eagles... He was clearly hurt.
And I still don't think... Well, he was not good in that game. I thought he was fine, though, against Houston.
Yeah, oh yeah. But you know what? It's still an offense that was in flux. Mm-hmm. Was it not?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what Jay did to lose the job.
Right.
Other than get hurt.
Yes. So I get that Brian Hoyer is playing... Look, he's playing outstanding football. He's probably not getting enough credit for how well he is playing because of the Jay Cutler situation and that... hangs over. It's a cloud that hangs over Hall right now.
But,
right? What's going on?
But here's
on
my
Cutler?
Problem. If the Jay Cutler haters are going to kill this guy because okay, he plays well for three quarters and then throws an interception in the fourth, which is kind of what people say. Oh well, he throws interceptions though. And by the way, he has a lot of fourth quarter comebacks too.
Yes.
So it's not
yes.
like he's always bad late in the games. He's had some moments where he's thrown some bad picks. No question about it. What is the difference between that? Throwing a bad pick in the last moments of the game, and what Brian Hoyer did, which was a turnover on downs as he missed his number one wideout open in the end zone. There's no difference. Either way, it's a turnover and you lost the game.
Mm-hmm. The whole Jeffrey situation, I mean, he's been targeted 18 times over the past three games. Brian Hoyer starts. Cam Meredith was targeted 12 times in Indianapolis. So... I get that he's seeing double teams, but a lot of elite receivers see double teams. You don't think Julio Jones is getting double teamed. He's probably getting triple teamed. Yeah. The whole secondary is probably leaning towards that guy, and he's still going off.
Because he is a quarterback who's still willing to get him the football.
Yes. You have to take a little risk.
You have to have a little... I mean, that's what we're talking... We're operating with two extremes here. And I guess it's... To my point at the that I also wrote on Sunday after the game was, you're 1-4.
Yeah.
You're going to be content going with the safe option the rest of the season?
Because you're in games.
Right.
Yeah. I don't get it.
You got to take chances.
Look,
you're content losing out and getting a high draft pick.
Yeah. Which
may be a philosophy within the organization.
But here's the thing, like I wrote this today in the Sun Times. Their decisions at quarterback will tell you a lot where they're at with John Fox. Because next year is year 3.
Mhm.
Year 3 and a 4-year contract under John Fox. Ryan Pace is a 5-year deal. So next year is a huge season for John Fox. And this is a coach who has never won with a young quarterback. Yes, he had that miraculous year with Tim Tebow in Denver, but that was an odd season to begin with. Heck, the Bears in their own blunders helped Tim Tebow.
Well, they weren't. They were an 8-8 football
team. So they weren't.
That happened to win a miracle playoff.
Yes, so that's why I used the word miracle. What does he do the next year? Peyton Manning's all of a sudden healthy. Let's go out and sign him, right? Mm-hmm. When Jake Delhomme became the starting quarterback for his Panthers, he was 28 years old and had a world of experience, literally a world of experience because he went over to NFL Europe. So, look, maybe Brian Hoyer is his guy, but that can't be the organization's guy. It just doesn't make sense. That's not a long-term fix when you're already filling up this team with young players. You have to address the quarterback position.
Look, when Jake Glazer's on Fox...
That's Fox's buddy.
That's Fox's buddy, and he's reporting that Brian Hoyer's playing for his job. That's what he said, right?
Yes.
I mean, that tells me that this is more than just trying to play coy with whoever the opponent is when Jay's actually healthy. But that's why I brought up the Packer game. Because if this was some elaborate, you know, I don't want to say hoax, but, you know, keep withholding information to keep your opponent guessing. Because the bottom line is the offense does look different with Jay. Teams can creep up to the line of scrimmage right now with Brian Hoyer because they know he's not going to go downfield.
Yes.
He's only doing it like once or twice a game. Which, by the way, it worked when he threw that deep pass to Alshon Jeffrey.
There's a play action call too, wasn't it?
Yep. So,
again, he's got the running game going. Jay did not have the running game going the first 2 weeks.
So if you play this like, let's say, and I don't know this is going to be the case, but let's say he's healthy for either Green Bay or Minnesota, one of those two games coming up here. You play it like Hoyer's your guy, and then all of a sudden you throw Jay out there. That could actually help you from a preparation standpoint.
Yeah,
because those games are not. You got to be looking at those right now as a coach saying, "Nah, we don't really have a good shot to win those games. We got to pull off something."
I just can't see, like, Fox loves the safe, efficient approach, and
I know
he's going to say that Brian Hoyer gives us the best chance to win because he's played so well. At least in his mind, the past few weeks. And yes, Brian Hoyer has been really good. We have to give him more credit. He's playing the best football I think he's ever played in his career. He was pretty good for the Houston Texans last year. 300-yard games, no interceptions.
Not too bad. Well, bottom line is Jay's not going to be playing this week.
Right.
But there seems to be a little bit of momentum here. That he could be getting better and in the coming weeks be in play. And then now we're maybe they can just bury this whole thing behind the Cubs World Series.
Well, eventually the season keeps going past, you know, November when the
Halloween night, Monday Night Football will be between game 5 and 6 of the World Series.
Okay.
Which the Cubs will be playing in, by the way. Actually, the World Series might be over because they might have swept by then.
See? I like your optimism.
I'm trying to be Mr. Optimistic with the Cubs.
That game the other night. Man, I had given up on the Cubs that game.
Oh, yeah. I know. You guys all did.
Yeah. I had laid them back. I didn't give up on them in the series. But that game, right. You know, the Giants are...
Oh, my partner, and by the way, we've been hosting Cubs postgame shows on WGN Radio. We'll continue to do so throughout the playoffs as long as the Cubs are in it. So it's been Mark Carmen and I, and Andy Mazur's been there too. You know Andy is a former member of the Cubs broadcast team on WGN. Carm had already tweeted like 6 things about Game 5. Like he even tweeted the weather forecast.
Right, he's tweeting what he's going to be eating. Like, he's going to have, you know, nachos.
He had moved on. He had given up on Game 4 completely. I think a lot of Cubs fans did.
Yeah, I mean, I had went to bed.
You went to bed?
Yeah. I had the game on.
Okay.
So the celebrating was very muted because I didn't want to wake up my 2 sons, which were right down the hallway. But, you know, there was some... A lot of and stuff like that instead of screaming and whatnot.
Yeah, I can imagine. The celebration within the Studio A of WGN was a little bit more extreme than that. As Mark Carmen...
Did Mark Carmen take his shirt off?
Mark Carmen went from, we're about to go on the air.
Isn't that how he usually is?
To screaming like a little kid. Good. I love the enthusiasm, and I've been saying this. I hope the Cubs win for all you Cubs fans out there, because what I experienced in 05 with the White Sox was incredible, and everyone deserves to have that. So I hope it happens. I think it's going to happen, because my neutral look at that team is that they're by far the best team in baseball, and And but that doesn't guarantee you anything in the playoffs.
No, no.
So you got to still put it together. So we'll see what happens. All right. So I guess we can note that as a news item. The Cubs are in the NLCS. As you know, but let's get to one more Bears item before we get to our preview between the Jaguars and Bears on Sunday. But Kevin White will have surgery. We talked a lot about Kevin last week.
Yes.
We talked to Dr. Neil Gadadra. You can still go back and listen to that interview if you want on episode 54 of Intentional Grounding, because there's still some things you probably like to hear from that, because he gave us kind of both scenarios, whether or not he had surgery or not. Basically, he said the recovery is the same. It's 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, he said there's no guarantee that the surgery will speed things up for him.
Right. So, and you've now put this off a week, because
yes,
John Fox said the surgery would happen sometime this week.
Yeah, I don't think we see him.
So now we're talking about 6 to 8 weeks from now.
Yes.
And it's week five, six?
Yes. We don't know the full details of what's going to go on with Kevin White's leg, but Dr. Neil explained to us that typically these spiral fracture surgeries require screws mm-hmm. and a plate being inserted in his leg. This is a guy who already has a rod for a bone in there.
I mean, he's going to start setting off a lot of metal detectors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He is not going to get through O'Hare cleanly anymore. He's going to have to become a star because he's going to have some issues with TSA. But look, his athleticism is going to change. Even when he comes back, yes, Dr. Neil made it clear that he can return this year, but what is he going to be? He's got to regain confidence in that leg again. And again, this becomes a long-term issue for the Bears. His development is everything, and this season is all about development, but he can't not develop if he's not healthy. Why risk further damage to that leg? It's going to be a problem for him for, what did Dr. Neil say, 1 to 2 years where he can have residual effects
yeah.
because of these surgeries, and there's been so much trauma to that leg. It's going to be tough to regain his strength where it's equal to his other leg. Look, this is a tough situation for Kevin White. Really, really just awful luck. I really feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, I do too, because he does seem like he has that talent and was coming on before this injury, making some progress. Small progress, but progress. And now you're talking about your 2015 first-round draft, top 7 pick. Potentially coming into year 3 still kind of as a rookie.
Yeah.
And John Fox can compare this to Demaryius Thomas all he wants, but
Demaryius Thomas had a range of different injuries. He had his Achilles. He tore his Achilles. Then he had like a thumb injury, concussion. That's not the same as the lower part of your leg being cut open twice in 2 years.
Having a rod and a plate and screws in there permanently.
Yes.
It's tough. And then meanwhile, your 2016 pick, Leonard Floyd, still been dealing with stuff. And
yeah. Well, I'm less concerned about that. I feel like he's just adjusting.
I'm less concerned about his injuries, but I think I'm more concerned about whether or not he can play in the league than I am Kevin.
There's so much time there for him. At least, I mean, I get that you want instant impact from top 10 picks, but it doesn't always happen that way.
I don't need instant impact from stats. I need instant ability.
Oh, he's got ability. If Vic Fangio is comfortable
he has
with him covering
NFL combine ability. You don't draft a guy number 9 overall to cover.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I get that. Believe me.
Can the guy rush the passer?
Yes.
Haven't seen it.
They have to unleash it.
Haven't seen it.
I get it. It's going to take time. I'm not writing him off yet, but Kevin White, look, I know everybody wants to give up on Ryan Pace's first-round picks. They're very critical of these first-round picks. They say he can't pick in the first round for whatever reason, but that's just a whole bunch of bad luck there for Pace and Kevin White. It's all it is.
I won't put that. If Kevin White, if he were to never play a down, which he will, but if he doesn't ever play a down for the Bears, I wouldn't even chalk it up as a bust.
Yeah.
That's the wrong term. It's a first-round pick that didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
but there were no indications before the draft that he was injury-prone or anything. It was bad luck.
Yeah.
And so you don't put this one. Now, if Leonard Floyd sucks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't turn out to be good. Well, then you got to start looking at that. But this guy's made a lot of other really good draft picks.
Yes.
So, and by the way, in terms of the pass rush, at least Willie Young's playing well.
We the Chicago Bears. We will forever be the Chicago Bears.
It's good to know.
He could forever be a Chicago Bear. Although I brought up his contract extension to him on Monday, and he was like, "Well, I only signed for 2 years."
You know, he worked that deal out himself.
Yes.
He was his own agent.
I think he did a better job than, who was that guy? Was it Russell Okung?
Oh, yeah, that was a bad one.
Who completely blew his...
Yes.
Blew his deal with the Seahawks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Willie Young did better for himself. All right, let's get to our preview. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Chicago Bears. Just a thriller. Sunday on the lakefront at Soldier Field. I think CBS has, like, their F broadcast team on.
I don't even know what it is.
It's.
I mean, is it as low as the other throw guy? What did I call him?
Actually, I shouldn't say that because I don't even know.
Extra throw guy.
We don't get CBS games very much, so I don't even know what their tier of broadcasters is. But it's Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, and Steve Berline.
Steve Berline, quarterback.
On the call. So this is a noon game Sunday on CBS. The Bears are a 2.5-point favorite, actually, against the Jaguars. Two big questions. You start.
Justin, what did that reporter call him? Justin Howard?
Justin Howard.
Can Jordan Howard top 100 yards again? Because ball control against an explosive Jaguars offense is going to be everything in this game. And I think he will. I think he'll have another nice game.
My first question is, can the Bears score points? They are they're second.
You said that so seriously. That's such a...
Well...
Can they score?
Well, hey, my research shows that...
They can't score points?
It is harder to win football games if you do not score points.
Really?
Yes.
That is groundbreaking.
I know.
Did you submit that to NASA or something?
I spent a lot of time on this, and that's what the research shows. Mm-hmm. That you can put up 500 yards of offense, 600 yards of offense, 700 yards of offense, but if you only score 23 points with all that offense,
yes,
chances are you might not win the football
right.
game.
You know what? That reminds me of an old Joel Quenneville quote when I was covering the Blackhawks, which seems like another life ago. We used to say, "The importance of winning is important." You know, so yeah,
that is true.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying. You know, they get in the red zone, they get close, penalties develop, that they go backward, and the Bears just aren't good enough to go backward to make up for their own mental mistakes and blunders and whatnot. You saw some of that against the Colts, that's for sure.
So the Bears are ninth in total offense, averaging 372.4 yards per game, but they're only 30th in points scored. That is a huge discrepancy.
Yeah.
17 points per game is what they're averaging. Now, on the flip side, this is an interesting matchup because the Jacksonville Jaguars on defense rank 7th in total defense, giving up 304 yards per game. So they're good at not allowing yardage.
Yes.
However, they're 25th in points allowed.
Yes.
So it's like the opposite. They're not giving up yards, but they're giving up points. The Bears are putting up tons of yards, but they're not scoring.
Well, a lot of that is Blake Bortles turning the ball over a lot, right? He has 6 interceptions through 4 games, and he said yesterday in the conference call with us that it's his decision-making, which was, I got to be honest, he was so candid and forthright and just... He seems like a very positive fella who I think could make it in this league. But just to hear him say, you know, it was my question, what's going on? How would you characterize your ups and downs this year? And he goes, oh, my decision-making's been awful.
Mm-hmm.
Who says that as a quarterback? That was great to hear. I think that's very encouraging for the Jaguars that this guy's taking ownership of his own issues. And we'll see what he could do against the Bears, which leads me to my next question. How are the Bears going to cover all the weapons that Blake Bortles has?
Yeah.
I mean, their secondary is banged up. Tracy Porter, who will play, is banged up. They don't know who their starting safety is with Harold Jones Quarty and Chris Pazinski coming in.
Is Bryce Callahan going to be able to play?
Who has been an outstanding tackler and defender, one of their best defensive backs.
He comes out of that game, and that's when they give up the long touchdown to T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, who's going to cover the Allen brothers? I mean, this is...
Because DeAndre Hall is still hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Jacoby Glenn's starting to fall out of favor.
Yeah.
And so in my opinion, if DeAndre Hall was healthy, he would probably play,
mm-hmm.
but he's not healthy. He hurt his ankle in practice last week.
Yeah.
Didn't play on Sunday. Didn't practice yesterday. So I don't even know who's...
Devontae Busby?
Yeah, Devontae Bowsby
was
promoted to the active
roster. Which means he's going to play, I think. Sherrick Manis, yeah. You know what he is. This is not a good situation in the secondary against a very potent offense for the Jaguars.
and Cravon LeBlanc was getting picked on by Andrew Luck on Sunday. They're banged up in the yeah. What's going on with safety is weird too.
Yeah,
the Chris Brzezinski HJQ thing.
Yeah, maybe it's like they almost want to send a message to HJQ.
Maybe he's coming out too hard.
Yeah, but no, that's but seriously, maybe
he's coming out too hard.
He's looking for those big hits and he's losing his assignments. That's a thing. It's too hard.
I think we gotta come out hard and stay hard.
I like that guy. He's got such a positive demeanor.
I think they like his demeanor too. They're just trying to harness it and
right.
And his tackling technique was poor.
Yeah.
And you gotta wrap up. You can't just throw your shoulder in the guy.
Well, he's not big enough to be. They like him because he's a thumper, but he's not a 6'2", 215-pound, you know, killer back there. He's just not built that way.
All right, my second question is, my first one addressed the issue of scoring enough points to win. So if you care about winning games at this point.
Score points.
I think what's more important going on the rest of the season, look, they're 1-4. Seriously, they should tank for a top two pick at this point. They're not going to. John Fox doesn't operate that way. But here's what I was going to get to. The individual developments here are more important than if they're winning games.
Right.
So I'm going to go back to Leonard Floyd, who John Fox pretty much told us yesterday he was going to play, which was interesting. Usually he doesn't do
that. They have Leonard back, I think, were his words, yes.
Yeah. That kid's got to show something. I mean, he really got to start showing something.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got to show some ability to rush the passer. You cannot just have this be a wasted season.
Right.
Not after what's going on with Kevin White. You can't have two back-to-back top 10 picks.
Yeah.
And neither of them contribute. One of them has to be good, and Kevin White's probably lost for the year. So Leonard Floyd, the rest of the season, needs to start performing. And it starts right now. If he's healthy enough to play, look, Willie Young was at the podium on Monday, and he was like joking around about like every muscle and bone in his body is beat up right now.
Yeah.
And he's playing through it. He came up with an elbow injury in practice last week, played anyway. Had it wrapped up, played through it. He's playing through a bunch of stuff. Leonard is just, he's not built like a veteran yet.
No.
He's not as tough. He doesn't have the muscle build. He's still got to work on all that. But you got to find a lot of it's a mentality. And Willie even said that. You just got to suck it up and play.
Right. I don't know if the Bears want him to suck it up and play, though. He talks about sucking it up and wanting to play. But the Bears don't want to see something flourish into a major issue or blow up into a major issue with their first overall pick. You know, you mentioned Floyd, and I kept thinking of this young defender who needs to make plays. Adrian Amos. Second-year guy. He started every single game of his career. He's had big tackles this year. He's got a shoulder fix. It's time to make plays on the ball.
That's a good point.
I get that the secondary is kind of in shambles, and that's a lot of pressure on him, and I get that the defense is on its heels a bit. But if this guy is going to be a long-term fixture, and the Bears do believe he can be that, I want to see some plays on the ball.
Yeah, he's a very reliable player, but he needs to be a more impactful player. How about that? Does that make sense?
Good change of adjectives.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, let's move on.
Bold predictions.
Brian Hoyer throws two interceptions in this game.
Wow. Okay.
He hasn't thrown one yet.
He hasn't been close to one yet.
I know.
And here's
hasn't even had like a guy drop one.
No. I mean, here's the thing. Remember when Josh McCown was lighting the world on fire?
Mm-hmm.
There were a few balls where he was just letting it rip. And
guys were like
making amazing throw catches, and they were guys are dropping interceptions. So I know he's in full-blown Josh McCown territory right now, but he's gotten there, Brian Hoyer has, with a more clean game. That is kind of bold, I got to say.
I love the young talent on the Jaguars' defense. They fly around. They make mistakes sometimes, but, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, these guys they drafted this year. You have Telvin Smith was a guy I loved a couple years ago coming out. And kept saying, hey, the Bears could draft this guy because he's not going to go earlier than the third or fourth round. Jaguars picked him up. I mean, they got guys who can play, that can create turnovers. And I just think I don't know. It's just bold prediction.
Okay.
But usually we just base these on gut feelings.
Well, here's my bold prediction going off the almost complete opposite of what you said.
Okay.
Alshon Jeffrey goes for over 120 yards. Not just 100 yards, over 120 yards, and has a touchdown. I think not only do they find a way to get him the ball, but they force the issue with him a bit.
Okay.
And I think Brian Hoyer will force the issue.
That's why he throws two picks.
Maybe under the pressure. But, okay, so maybe they work in line here.
Yeah.
But Alshon Jeffrey finally rewards his fantasy owners.
Okay. Oh, my God. There was a trade in my fantasy league this week. John Brown for Alshon Jeffrey straight up.
And it passed?
I'm like the third commissioner in the league, so yeah. We have three people that vote. And the trade involved one of the commissioners, so he sent it to us via text. And I think my response was like, is that a real trade?
Yeah.
Well, the way we approve trades, it's not really based on whether they're equal or not. It's whether we just make sure there's no funny business going
on.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, if someone's that stupid to make that trade, we don't say, oh, you're being dumb.
Yeah. We used to have a guy in our league that you could bribe with food.
See, that's the kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's out now. That was no good. That was no good. Hot dogs. John Fox hot dog specials, you know. Messing up our fantasy world.
There's a little foreshadowing right there.
Predictions.
Who you got?
Bears. Covering. Bears. Well, it's 2.5, right? So, I mean, that's an easy cover. Well,
okay,
so,
who are you picking straight up?
Straight up? Well, Bears, 24-21.
24-21. Oh, yeah, I guess that would be
straight. Connor Barth connects.
They're sticking by that guy.
Well, who else are you going to sign?
I don't know.
Robbie Gold? You know, he'll have one of those, like, you know, new phone, who dis, you know? You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to pick up. Kai Forbath, didn't Connor Barth beat out Kai Forbath somewhere in New Orleans or something?
Yeah.
You know, so, look, he is, when that guy in Tampa Bay still is employed, what's his name? The guy that's drafted in the second round.
Aguayo? Yeah.
Who has been awful, still has a job.
He came through, though.
Yes, well.
That guy's talented, though. He's just got some some things going
on. I get it,
head.
But I don't know who is exactly out there. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so I'm not going with the Bears.
No.
I'm going to pick Jacksonville. I think there's a lot of young talent here. I like Gus Bradley as a coach. I hope, man, this organization has shown some patience with him. I hope they continue to show patience with him because I get this feeling this team, there's too much talent here. You mentioned all the receiving weapons they have. Blake Bortles, I think, is a good enough quarterback. Here's the thing. The Bears' defense still not creating turnovers.
Right.
So maybe you can look at it one way like, oh, well, maybe Bortles is the guy who throw him the ball. I don't trust the Bears to make those plays. So if he has a clean game, I think they're going to be able to move the football enough to score. And Vic Fangio said it yesterday. The pass rush wasn't consistent enough.
Yeah.
Yes, they had 5 sacks. The Bears had 5 sacks against the Colts. But it wasn't consistent enough.
No, they did a bad job of keeping Andrew Luck.
They didn't contain
him. In that pocket, yes, like
right.
They wanted to.
So I think Bortles will be able to move the ball. Like I said, I just think there's so much talent on both sides of the ball here with the Jaguars. Young talent on defense, too. I just feel like they're going to start to come together here a little bit as the season goes along. They beat the Colts. They got that win. They got over the hump. They've really only had one bad game so far this year. They played very well against Green Bay in Week 1 and lost. They lose. They had a bad loss at San Diego Week 2. They were close against the Ravens. And lost by 2.
Yeah. Well, San Diego, can I interject quickly?
Sure.
They're kind of, well, they're 1-4, right? But they're very deceiving 1-4.
I think this team is 2, though. That's kind of my point. I think the Jaguars are a deceiving 1-3 team. And they've had 2 weeks to prepare. They're coming off a bye. I think that's another thing that you factor.
And they're healthy.
You're
making me not like my pick, but I'm already in print with that pick, so.
You can't change it now.
Well, maybe. Let's see by the end of this podcast.
I'm kind of convincing you.
Well, here's the thing. So they lose this game. You're not going to pick them against the Packers. You're not going to pick them against the Vikings, who are probably, you know, they're both in the top 5 in the NFL right now. A 1-7 start, a 1-7 record at the bye week. Wow. Just think about that for a second. Even if this is all about development, you got all these injuries and all these excuses. 1-7. That's abysmal.
That is not the progress we thought we were going to see.
No,
with this
that's
team.
Not any sign of progress. And I get that, again, youth, development, injuries, all these have played a role and would play a role in that 1-7 record at the break. But man, it's ugly.
So I'm gonna reverse what you said. You said 24-20 Bears. I'm gonna say 20.
I said 24-21. I think yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna say 24-20 Jaguars.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Sorry, man.
Well, you've almost convinced me. We got about another 15 minutes in this All podcast. Right. I could change.
All right, let's move on to our favorite segment, which if you're listening closely. Adam Johns kind of teased a few moments ago. What does the frog say?
Had we had the coolness of the hot dog laden press box, we might have gone there. What
the
frog say?
The coolness, though.
That is one of my...
That's a shot. That was a shot.
Oh, yeah.
There's no need to.
The coolness. I love how... So, if you missed this was Monday, and John Fox basically just accused Stovall sitting up in the press box eating hot dogs.
Yes.
I have yet to be in a press box that has good hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's ever happened in the history.
They had hot dogs at Lucas Oil Stadium, and they looked disgusting.
Right.
Almost green in some cases. I passed. I went Caesar salad.
I went pizza.
Yes.
But John Fox just brought it up like there's like hot dogs flying everywhere. The hot dog laden, like they're just like flying through the air.
Right, you sit down, you got three already for you. You know, you got like vendors, you know, hot dogs. No, it's not every press box is like that. He did it twice, too.
I know, he went back to it.
Yeah, you know, whatever, man. It's going to be a long year, but, you know... Here's the thing. Yes, we all had a view of that play, right?
Well, he was asked about Brian Hoyer missing Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah.
And now, but if you listen to this closely.
We had the coolness of the hot dog laden press box. We might have gone there.
Now, is he just hungry?
Yeah.
Maybe he was disappointed with his food.
His halftime meal.
And was thinking, maybe he's just talking about lunch.
Yeah. Like you know what, though? He's got coaches up in that press box. So... Maybe it was a shot at them.
Maybe Dal Loggins
calls games from the press box.
Right.
So
he had the coolness of the hot dog laden press box
right.
to know to go there.
Exactly. You know, so here's the thing. Like, I get this whole Monday morning quarterback. You know, it's harder to do it on the field. But it's Brian Hoyer's job on the field to go through his progressions and diagnose the coverages and find the open receiver. Right?
Yep.
That's his job. He missed. That's all it was. You know, it happens. Maybe if Jeffery doesn't blow up the way he does, it's not as big as a story, but they lost against a very beatable Colts team that they had a victory. I mean, the victory was there.
And so, by the way, I can't blame Alshon for that blow up in the moment as it happened because he was open, and that is a huge moment in the game. I mean, it is the game.
Yeah.
And he was open.
It's kind of a huge moment this season.
I'm going to give him credit for the way he handled it, though, after. He was... great in his post-game comments to us. I mean, quiet as always, but...
He gave you a little something.
How many wide receivers would go off in that situation?
Yeah, yeah.
And he admitted that he was covered a lot of the game. They were double covering him. Brian Hoyer was... Because the quarterback played well.
Yeah.
He just... A lot of guys would be frustrated at this point. Maybe inside is, because he's not getting a lot of targets, but he... Even if he is, he's handling it very well publicly.
Yeah. He was very professional. He took his time. I was the first reporter to go up to him, and he said, let me get a shower. You know, I'll get you. And we went back to him later. It's just so different in the guy that kind of tutored him in the NFL. Remember when Brandon Marshall lost his mount? That's whack, bro. When that became, you know, a big headline in a radio segment, you know, that there wasn't that moment, right? Alshon Jeffery composed himself. He did swear maybe once or twice, but that's fine. He handled himself like a captain.
He did. He's kind of shown himself to be a legitimate captain here, I think, so far through the season. But, yeah, they're still 1-4. All right. Let's move on to our picks for the week. Let's a couple things. Second week in a row, we forgot to do upsets. What are we doing here?
No, didn't we do them?
No, we didn't. We did not do upsets. So,
what was my record last week?
It was better.
I just winged it.
Yeah, because you did wing it. But I'll bring that up. My upset, I already gave it. Jaguars are beating the Bears.
Okay,
that counts as an upset.
Kinda, but okay.
Last week you were much better. You went 4-2 in the NFL. I went 2-4. We were both 1-3-1 in college.
The comeback is on. I think I nailed that Alabama one.
You nailed Alabama. That's although it, though. Arkansas almost got that backdoor cover.
I know.
And Purdue, man. Way to go with Illinois, 10.5-point favorites. Never trust Illinois to be double-digit favorites.
Perdon't. You were calling him Perdon't.
I call him Perdon't, but then I picked him.
Yeah. You know what? I've seen it a few times now, and you know, I once referred this headline to our copy guys, you know, for Illinois, the LOL Illini. Have you seen that?
Yes.
We had it on our back page a couple of years ago. I think it was more about their basketball team, but
I like to do ILLOSE.
Oh, it'll lose? Took me a second there.
Yeah. You gotta think about it. Well, yeah. It's creative.
Poor Lovey. Poor Lovey. Is he over his head?
Did you see him blow up on that reporter on Monday?
Oh, wait, it's a college reporter.
Well, let me see. Blow up. I mean, Lovey blow up is. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But still,
he
come
said
on.
Freaking like.
That's his like.
That's the F word to him.
Yeah, that's more than the F word. That's like his MF word. You know, that is.
Hey man, that's how you piss Lovey Smith off though. You question because the question was, are you not going hard enough on these guys? And
wow.
That is a way to piss Lovey off.
I hope
off.
That was a champagne. What's the name of their paper? Not the town paper, the school paper.
Oh. The Daily Illini or something?
Yeah. I hope the Daily Illini columnist asked that because I'd be very proud of that situation. All right, sorry.
Lovey. All right. Let's start in the NFC North. The Los Angeles Rams head to Detroit. The Detroit Lions hosting 3-point favorites. The Lions are at home. So basically an even matchup here between the Rams and the Lions.
Yep.
Speaking of last week's picks, we both got our locks wrong. Remember when I picked the Eagles as my lock, but then I'm like, I have a weird feeling about this.
Yeah.
Because the spread on that game was weird. The Packers, you had the Packers. You missed that by 0.5 points.
Yes.
Sorry about that. So here we have the Rams and Lions.
I like the Lions. The Rams, they're 3-2?
Mm-hmm.
They're not a good 3-2.
No.
They're not a good team. They've beaten pretty good teams.
Well, they beat Seattle. They beat Arizona.
Yeah.
Those are two really impressive. Arizona
really
on the
teams.
Road.
Yeah.
But then they come back and they have a bad loss. Well, I don't know. What are the Bills?
I don't know.
That team is just. But they did have the 28-0 loss to San Francisco in week one, which I told you though, watching that game, I didn't think they were that bad.
Okay.
So basically, you have two middling teams here.
Yes, and you would think the home field would be enough for the Lions, who did win last week. Give me the 3 points. I'm giving you 3 points. I'm losing 3 points, but give me the Lions. I think they're on the path to turning it around.
All right, I don't trust the Lions. I think they're just going to be kind of up and down all year. Jim Caldwell's on the hot seat. I think this turns out to be a bad loss for them at home. So I'm going to take those 3 points, and I'm going to go with the Rams. So we disagree on this one. All right, moving on in the NFC North. This is a good game in the late afternoon hours on Sunday. It's the Cowboys at the Green Bay Packers, 3:25 game Sunday on Fox. By the way, the Rams-Lions, noon on Sunday on Fox. So Cowboys-Packers a 4.5-point favorite at home at Lambeau Field. Who you got here?
Packers. I like the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott's running like we all thought he would, and maybe he has a big game against the Green Bay defense, which is pretty good against the run,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can remember the stats, the league stats. But you're at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers versus Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's been he's been so impressive because he keeps it going. The efficient, safe play, the good play. But I think it changes this week. Maybe he struggles a bit in a pretty hostile environment. And I think, well, the Packers, I know they're not as explosive as they should be yet, but I think it's coming.
But when they go through weeks like this where they get pounded, because right now they're getting pounded again for not being good enough offensively.
Yeah, and they just won. What a world to live
in
for Green Bay.
Exactly. Huh? But these are the weeks where Aaron Rodgers comes out fired up and puts up points.
Right, right.
It happened against Detroit a few weeks ago. So I agree with you. I've been impressed with the Cowboys. They keep it rolling. But this, I just think the Packers are going to be able to score points in this game, and I'll take them with the 4.5 as well. All right, moving on. This is tonight's game on Thursday night. We apologize if you listen to this Friday, but Broncos at Chargers. The Chargers, a 3-point underdog at home, as Trevor Siemian will get the start for Denver. 7:25 kickoff Thursday night on CBS.
Hit that button.
Ooh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Who are you locking?
The Chargers.
Ooh, okay.
I think they've been in games, and you know what? I hate the close description because the Bears use it all the time. I don't think they're that close, but I think the Chargers are close. I think Joey Bosa's return, or however you want to say it, he was good in his first game. He was very good. 2 sacks, tackle for loss. I think a couple more quarterback pressures. The Broncos quarterback situation is interesting. I think Trevor Siemian is coming back, according to NFL Network. That said, he's still kind of banged up. That said, he's not that mobile. And I think they may not win this game, but I think the Chargers cover.
I think the Chargers do, too. Short week. Broncos are kind of licking their wounds after that loss to the Falcons at home. Again, Trevor Siemian's fine, but he's not a guy you can ride like Phillip Rivers is. I feel like the Chargers, I don't have any facts or numbers behind this, but I feel like whenever I watch the Chargers on these Thursday night games or just night games in general, I feel like Phillip Rivers is always getting interviewed after the game after having a great game with his, what do you call those ties?
The cowboy tie.
The cowboy tie. Yeah, what do you call that? I forget. We're from Chicago.
With his 30 children on stage with him.
Right. Am I right here? Don't you get that feeling?
Yeah,
I feel like
yes.
He's always on like the NFL Network set or the ESPN set.
Right, right.
Looking all...
Country.
Country and...
Wholesome. And
talking about life and how much he loves everybody. I don't know. So I'm going with Chargers here.
Okay.
You know what?
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
Lock it up.
We might as well go down together.
All right. Okay.
This next game is an interesting spread.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Falcons, who are playing very well right now, head on the road to Seattle, which I don't think has been very impressive so far this season. It's a 3:25 game Sunday on Fox going up against the Cowboys-Packer game. So you'll have to search for this one a little bit or have the NFL Sunday ticket to be able to watch it because locally, at least here, the Packers will be on. But the Seahawks are 6.5-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, I don't like that spread.
Seems like a lot of points.
Well, the Falcons can put up a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
Julio Jones is, I mean, yes, you got Richard Sherman, you got those two great safeties in Seattle, but I don't know if you could stop him at this point. Matt Ryan is finally locked in again.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what's going into this is that the Seahawks have picked it up offensively the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
37 points on the 49ers, 27 at New York last week.
Yeah, but those teams, they did it again. So not exactly. I know Atlanta, I don't know how sold you are on them as a team, but I like them in this one.
You're taking the Falcons?
Taking the Falcons with the 6.5.
So they're on a 4-game winning streak. Everything's going really well. You get the win at Denver. Now they have to go even farther west. They
is
go
it
to
Stan
Seattle.
Quinn's first game back in Seattle?
It probably is.
Is it?
I don't know if they played there last year. But that's a good point. Here's the thing. Anytime I see a spread, though, I should have followed my gut last week with the Eagles-Lions game because something about that spread wasn't right. This one, too, it just seems like too many points. That's like Vegas knows something.
Okay.
All right. Seattle's also coming off a bye, which is important to note. Playing well into that bye. Falcons had a tough game last week. Everything seems to be going well. I think it's a little bit of a wake-up call this week in Seattle. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks, even with that big spread.
Okay. All right.
So we disagree on this one as well. All right. Colts at the Texans is the final NFL game we're going to pick. This is the Sunday night game in Houston. The Texans are a 3-point favorite at home. The Bears have played both of these teams, so we've seen them both up close and personal. 7:30 Sunday night on NBC.
Give me Andrew Luck.
Ooh.
The Bears have stirred the dragon and or stirred the sleeping monster that is Andrew Luck, and I think, I mean, this strikes me as another game where he could put the Colts up on his back and carry them to a victory. The Texans, good defense. Brock Osweiler is not everything they thought he would be. He's struggling.
There's two things to me that were most predictable in 2016.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is that Donald Trump would go down in flames, which we're starting to see.
Yeah.
Okay. The second thing that was most predictable to me was that Brock Osweiler would be exposed as not a very good
Poor
quarterback.
Brock Osweiler being thrown into that mix.
If you heard me back in, was it March when they made that deal?
Yeah.
Had to have been. I hated it. I mean, I was going off on my weekend radio show. How can Brock Osweiler be making more money than Jay Cutler? The guy has not done anything.
Right, right.
He had a few good games last year and held things together.
Well, the Broncos don't exactly miss him.
Right.
He was a second-round pick.
Like wait, here's a great point. Trevor Siemian's basically doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Trevor Siemian is going to be the guy you want taking over forever. But as I look at this, Trevor Siemian could have done last year what Brock Osweiler did to kind of hold things together until Peyton Manning got back.
Yeah.
To give that guy that much money after just that,
yeah,
small sample size, insane.
Well, that's just the insane desire to fix the quarterback position.
Like, who's the better quarterback right now, Brian Hoyer or Brock Osweiler?
Brian Hoyer.
And they let Brian Hoyer. They cut him.
Yeah.
They said bye-bye. I mean,
again, that's the insane desire to get that next young franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
The Bears are going to experience this, or they should be experiencing some of it right now. You have to fix that position, and sometimes it involves a lot of risk. The Texans took a lot of risk. I mean, it could turn out to be something better next year, but this is his first year as a starter, and look, the Broncos were just such a better situation. Look at Trevor Siemian, 7th-round pick, pretty talented kid. Is he as talented as Brock Osweiler? I don't know, but he looks okay. He looked okay in his last start before he got hurt.
All right, so after I just killed Brock Osweiler, I'm picking the Texans.
Sounds about right.
Because that's one position. More importantly, I don't think the Colts are a very good football team.
They're not.
They have the better quarterback in this game, yes, no question. But overall, the Texans are a much better team than the Colts are. We've seen them both.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them play up close and personal.
Well, the Texans should get plenty of sacks, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're definitely 3 points better at home in prime time than the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm taking the Texans here.
And this is where we start making our move to come back on you.
Right here?
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, you're going to ride
Andrew Luck. I'm a rare. It's an awful division.
You're only two games behind me now.
See?
Which
all that trash talk.
Really is sad.
All that trash talking.
Okay, Mr. 10 and 20.
Okay, Mr.
12 and 18.
12 and 18.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to what we've actually been good at this year, which is picking college games. We're both 13, 8, and 1 on the year. All right, couple really good games to get to. We'll start locally, though, first. Your favorite team, Illinois, heads on the road against Rutgers.
And the Rutgers just lost to Michigan, what, 1,000 to nothing?
78 to nothing. You
might as well be 1,000 to nothing. Jeez.
How bad do you have to be for Illinois was a 10.5 point favorite last week at home against Purdue.
Yeah.
And not only did they not cover, they lost head-to-head.
Right.
After that debacle, they go on the road now against a team, and Illinois still favored by 6.
Yeah.
That shows you how bad Rutgers is.
Well, I think we all saw how bad they were. Michigan threw, like, what, 8 passes that whole game? They just ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball.
I don't think Rutgers had, like, a first down until the fourth quarter or something, or the third quarter.
Man, that's, like, one of your bad.
I think they had 2 the whole game.
Yeah, yeah. That struck me as, like, one of those bad high school games you get every now and then where the nobody wants to play the state power. Nobody wants to play Loyola or Mount Carmel. But they got to fill out their schedule, and some other bad team and has to fill out their schedule. Then you get the 65-0 blowouts and whatnot. So, I mean, Loyola would have given Michigan a better shot than Rutgers there. Here's the funny thing, though. Give me Rutgers in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking Rutgers, too. They'll bounce back. They played Iowa really strong at home a couple weeks ago. They only lost by 7 to Iowa. They were in it. Illinois is not.
Michigan's a top 3, top 5 team.
Yeah, this is. I think Rutgers at home, they'll win this game. Illinois is kind of a mess right now as well.
Well, I mean, for Lovie Smith's yelling at college reporters. I mean, the Chicago media went there for his first game and said, farewell, Lovie, you know?
Yeah. All right, moving on to Michigan State hosting Northwestern. The Spartans are reeling, having lost 3 games in a row here, and they host Northwestern, who came back with a nice win 2 weeks ago at Iowa and had a bye week.
I was going to say, tell me how they are after bye weeks.
Well,
what's your experience?
They should be a lot healthier. Well, I don't know historically how they are after bye weeks off the top of my head.
Yeah, but they had a lot of injuries, though.
Yeah,
right?
but just for this team.
Yes.
I was walking off. I did a live interview with Justin Jackson right after the Iowa win on the field, walking off the field, and the kid was hobbling. You know, he was hurting, but, I mean, really a gutsy performance by him because he got hurt early in that game, played great.
Yeah, that's a Chicago kid, right?
Yep.
Chicago tough.
So
that's what we call it.
Bye week's going to do him well. Bye week's going to do a lot of those guys well. Michigan State, I asked Jeremy Langford yesterday, what's going on with it with Spartans? He's like, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure that out, too.
Yeah.
They've had issues at quarterback. Picking a guy, and I don't know. I like how Northwestern played 2 weeks ago.
I'm picking Northwestern.
Yeah, I think with the
with
4.5.
I don't know if they win.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I think with the points, you have to lean towards Northwestern here. Two teams that are kind of going in opposite directions, and Northwestern has the bye to lean on, too.
A little more time should do them some good.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Northwestern here. We agree on this one. All right, let's get to the 2 monster games this weekend. Seems like Tennessee's involved in one of these every single week. So we go to the SEC. Number 1, Alabama. The top 2 teams in the country head to the road, on the road here against top 10 opponents. We're going to pick them both. Number 1, Alabama at number 9, Tennessee. The Volunteers lose that close game. This ended up being a push. We disagreed, Texas A&M, Tennessee last week. It ended up being exactly 7 points in overtime. Texas A&M did win the game, however.
Yeah, I picked them. I know.
Tennessee, 13-point underdogs at home to Alabama.
Who are you taking?
Tennessee. Too many points.
You said that last week when Alabama was playing Arkansas. That was 14-point spread.
Yeah, but Tennessee's better than Arkansas.
Are they? I don't know.
They are definitely better than Arkansas.
Alabama's considerably better than them both.
Backdoor
spreads do not count in real life other than the gamblers, my friend, you know.
Tennessee, they're covering 13. I don't think they win, but they're at home. The problem is if they keep falling behind and having these miracle comebacks.
Yeah.
I don't know
that's
that
Alabama's the story of their season.
I don't know if Alabama's going to let them.
No, they're not going to.
But they are going to let them come back and backdoor cover.
Backdoor. Oh, that's a good point. All right, no, give me Alabama.
Alabama, all right.
I think the only team that can really hang with them close is the other game we're about to pick right now.
Number 2, Ohio State at number 8, Wisconsin. I actually have Ohio State ranked number 1 over Alabama.
Okay, why?
because love the athletes on that team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both have athletes, but I just think Ohio State's better, top to bottom.
Better quarterback.
Better quarterback. Although that kid on Alabama, pretty good too.
Yeah.
But JT Barrett's got the experience. Number 8, Wisconsin's got a great defense, though, and they are a 10-point underdog at home under the lights at Camp Randall.
Give me the Buckeyes.
Wow. Just like that? You're not even really give Wisconsin any kind of chance?
I don't think Hornibrook is going to stand a chance. Like the Michigan game all over again.
Yeah, but they're not in Ann Arbor. They're at home in a crazy environment.
Everybody's going to jump around. Did you say that environment's one of the most overrated?
No, I didn't. I said the student section's overrated.
Okay.
The student section is overrated.
It was part of the environment.
But a big reason why that student section's overrated is because they don't.
You're not there anymore?
They don't show up until the second quarter, and they leave after jump around.
Okay.
Okay, but big primetime games, they show up on time, and they stick around the whole time.
Okay.
That's why I kind of say they're overrated, because they only kind of show up in force for these big games, right?
Yeah.
But this is a big game, and the rest of that stadium is always top-notch. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to play, especially under the lights. I've seen them play well against so many teams in primetime at home, including in 2010 when number 1 Ohio State came to Camp Randall. College game day was there, just like they'll be there Saturday.
Wait, you're going back to the Russell Wilson Badger years.
This was Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien, friend, high school.
Scott Tolzien, J.J. Watt. Ohio State came in. This defense actually better than that defense, too, even though J.J. Watt's not on this defense. Mm-hmm. His brother, though, is, though, T.J. Watt.
Yeah, he's a player.
Who's coming up as a player. Very similar situations here. You know who the quarterback was in that game for Ohio State? Terrell Pryor.
Who's now a pretty good receiver for the Cleveland Browns.
/ quarterback last week.
This strikes me as a game. Yeah, right? Mr. Everything.
Look, I don't know that Wisconsin's going to win. However, I am picking them to win straight up.
Okay, can Hornibrook. This strikes me as a game. We talk about playing catch-up against Alabama or Tennessee playing catch-up, and they're great rallies. This strikes me as a game where Ohio State could jump out to a quick 14-0 lead, right? That doesn't mean that the defense of the Badgers doesn't put their feet in the ground and slow them down after that.
That could be a problem if they do that.
Okay. That's what I think is going to happen in this one.
All right.
Give me the Buckeyes.
I have Wisconsin winning outright 20-17.
Wow.
So with the 10 points at home in primetime.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
You've locked up two games.
Lock it up.
No, you did. Did I not lock one up here?
You locked up an NFL game. You don't have to lock up college. We don't make you do
that. I want to lock up Rutgers. Why not?
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
I won't watch one down of that, but
you know what? You're not going to be glued to your television for Illinois Rutgers?
No, no.
Man.
My TV may break at the bad with all the bad football. But
I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to watch Wisconsin-Ohio State and the Cubs game on Saturday night, too, because we'll be on the bus coming home from East Lansing.
You got two iPads?
I have one iPad. I think there's Wi-Fi on the bus.
Okay. Most coach buses have them now.
Yeah. I think there's Wi-Fi. Hopefully it's reliable. It should be, unlike airplanes. Airplanes, yeah. Wi-Fi, you can't stream anything.
Yeah. Put one on your phone. Put one on your iPad.
Might have to be. At least networks are allowing you to stream things.
Well, who are you going to sit next to? You can work something out. You know, I have Fitz just do the Cubs game, and you handle the...
I'm sure Fitz wants to watch the Wisconsin game with me.
Well, he's a diehard Cubs fan. No, he's a Southsider, isn't he? Who does he root for?
No, he's a White Sox fan.
He's a White Sox fan.
Yep.
Southside guy.
He probably cares. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, just sit next to Fitz and work it out.
You want to pick game one in the NLCS, too? Even though we don't know the opponent as we record this?
No, I'm not getting any... I don't want to use the word jinx or any of that. I just want to see who they play.
Cubs in five.
Cubs in five.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
No matter who they're playing.
Okay.
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
Joe Maddon will not do that.
Joe Maddon will not flop it out there. No question. All right. That's going to do it for us here on Intentional Grounding. Episode 56. Don't ever forget the Bill Hewitt episode.
And all the old-timers that listen to this are going to give us some grief over that. Hey, did you go over the picks of the Twitter polls?
Oh, my God. What an idiot.
Yeah.
You were supposed to remind me a lot earlier. We're supposed to do it while we were doing it.
I told you to put it in 16.
I did, and I still ignored it. All right. Yes, hang on. I have these right here. Our listener selections this week for the games we picked. All right, starting with the Bears game. Because these are against the spread, too.
Okay.
70% of you out there think the Bears will cover the 2.5 against the Jaguars. Okay. So some confidence with the Bears.
Well, you know what that means. Everybody in our paper so far has picked the Bears. Everybody's going to pick the Bears, maybe, but you.
That's why I'm going Jags.
Yeah. But yeah, dumb boy.
Upset. Oh, you didn't pick an upset. Well, you can think about that for a second. All right. Cowboys at Packers. This one is close. Only 52% picking the Packers, 4.5. So this one's almost split even between the Packers and the Cowboys. And then our college game of the week, you guys voted. Again, these votes are at INT Grounding Pod, or Twitter handle, at INT Grounding Pod. That's where the polls are up. And they're up until these games are being played, so you could still go vote right now and contribute. The Ohio State-Wisconsin game is our college game of the week. It is also very close. But 54% of you are picking Ohio State right now, despite giving up 10 points on the road to Wisconsin. People leaning towards the Buckeyes right now, as you were.
There's a lot of smart listeners out there. Oh, I did pick my upset, too, by the way. The Chargers.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, tonight.
Good point. All right, so you go Chargers as your upset. I go with the Jaguars beating the Bears. That's going to do it for us here on episode 56 of Intentional Grounding. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns, and at INT Grounding Pod, where you can interact with the show there, vote on our games, and leave us some questions as well throughout the week. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com and find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. We thank you for leaving your reviews there and rating the podcast on iTunes. Any final thoughts?
Stay hard, folks.
Cubs in 5.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Talk to you guys after the game on Sunday. Bears and Jaguars. We'll have our post-game episode then.